Our scripture reading this morning from Psalm 23, followed by the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 10, the first 9 verses. Psalm 23. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. And even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk by my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. And from Luke 10, later the master selected 70 and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he intended to go. He gave them this charge. What a huge harvest, and how few the harvest hands. So on your knees, ask the God of the harvest to send harvest hands on your way. But be careful, this is hazardous work. You're like lambs in a wolf pack. Travel light, comb, toothbrush, and no extra luggage. Don't loiter and make small talk with everyone you meet along the way. And when you enter a home, greet the family. Peace. And if your greeting is received, then it's a good place to stay. But if it's not received, take it back and get out. Don't impose yourself. Stay at one home, taking your meals there, for a worker deserves 3 square meals. Don't move from house to house looking for the best cook in town. When you enter a town and are received, eat what they set before you. Heal anyone who is sick and tell them, God's kingdom is right on your doorstep. Here ends our scripture reading. Let us seek together to understand and take to heart what God's Spirit says to us. What did you bring with you to church this morning? I'll ask again, but you don't have to answer. What did you bring with you to church this morning? Obviously, I do not mean what did you bring in your pockets or in your bag. But I'm talking about the heavy load that so many people are carrying with them in their minds and in their hearts. It's a known fact that most people carry with them loads of worries, many anxieties, and often feelings of guilt and unhappiness. We carry with us all the realities of our times. And sometimes you and I blame others for the heavy load that we have to carry. For instance, a marriage counselor was asking a woman some questions about her disposition. Did you wake up grumpy this morning? Oh no, she replied, I just let him sleep. Sometimes we blame ourselves. Someone said, if you could kick the person responsible for most of your troubles, you would not be able to sit down for weeks. On a more serious note, we all know and we love the old hymn, Are we weak and heavy laden? encumbered with a load of care, because that is the reality for so many people in their lives. They have become overburdened, weak, and heavy laden, carrying with them a load of care. It's true that we often find ourselves so bogged down with stuff. Ask me, I know. I don't allow Tinka in my study when it comes to clean up, because I know where everything is, but only I do. And sometimes I just decide, this is it. And I would pull the stuff off the racks, and before you know it, the trash can is full and a few bags with it. Just an honest look at all the stuff, and then I know that I can safely get rid of most of it. Are you bogged down with stuff, with burdens, with things, with activities that you can barely get out of your way? Then you must do something about it. We often drag so much baggage with us. We are so preoccupied with such a variety of things that we find it impossible to focus on things that can make life so precious and so worthwhile. There is a magnificent truth in Psalm 23. I did not know these things, but I'm married to a farm girl who grew up with sheep, and she taught me a lot. You see, sometimes when a sheep rolls over on its back, it cannot stand up again by itself without help. And shepherds call this a cast sheep. And it is known that a cast sheep will die unless the shepherd does something about it. What causes the sheep to become cast down in the first place? The answer is obvious. Having too much wool is often the only reason. The sheep's fleece becomes very long, heavily matted with mud, burrs, and other debris, so that it is rendered totally helpless and useless. And it's also a known fact that sheep resent shearing. They just don't like it. You have to literally force them down. But when it is over, there is an obvious and a great relief. Set free from the hot, heavy coat and able to follow the shepherd once again. And David writes out of his own knowledge as a shepherd. And one line of the psalm that we all carry in our hearts is, "He restores my soul." From time to time, a shepherd is required to restore his sheep. For sheep have a tendency to become cast down. And it's when the shepherd puts the sheep back on its feet, he also usually massages its legs and talks gently to soothe it, telling it, "It's okay now. You can move on. You are well again." He restores its sense of well-being. And that's what the Bible says. Like a good shepherd with a cast sheep, God restores our souls. The shepherd restores the sheep. Now in Luke 10, Jesus calls his disciples together, gives them authority, and then sends them out to carry good news, the good news of God's kingdom. He sent them and us to preach, to teach, to heal, and to confront evil wherever we find it. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, We are ambassadors for Christ. Not only the person standing in the pulpit. Not only those singing in the choir. Scripture says us all followers of Jesus Christ. We are called as ambassadors for Christ. In the gospel, Jesus charges them, telling them to carry no purse, no bag, not even extra sandals. He tells them to travel light, not to be bogged down with unnecessary things. Now, it was worth looking up, so I looked up to the dictionary. What is stuff? What is the definition of stuff? Dictionary says, it's material things generally, especially when unidentified, worthless, or unwanted. So what is the most common complaint someone has when moving from one place to another? I don't have to tell you. That's when you discover, I have too much stuff. And then you hear people say, how on earth did I accumulate so much stuff? Most of us in life has too much stuff. And Jesus' call to travel light is really a call to simplify our lives, to become more carefree, to regain singleness of eye and heart. Nowadays, people's lives seem so complicated. It's hard to keep track of all the conflicting schedules. I've heard parents say in our church, we never eat together as a family anymore, because the kids have to be here and there, and my husband has to be here, and the wife has to be there, and we just keep running. We live in the same home, but we're busy, busy all the time. And many are so strung out. And many of you have become cast down. A certain minister tells about a woman in his congregation. And she's one of those overcommitted types. Always frantically busy, never stopping to catch her breath. And you know what's her constant cry when she runs past you? I'm too busy. We must talk sometime. We must visit her some. See you later. She goes. And the minister finally asked the woman, now tell me, how do you ever expect God to get hold of you if you never stand still? And that is the truth. And that's what it means when you and I take time to be quiet before God. Stop telling God. Begin listening to God. And it is then when we open our lives and our hearts, when we seek quiet with God, that we begin to hear that soft, small whisper, guiding us, teaching us, helping us getting rid of the stuff. Churches can have the same problems as individuals. We can become so bogged down with business and concerns, so many details. We can be the best church in the world in our busyness. But the danger is still there that in the process we can let go of God. And that's what it's all about. Oh, we can be so busy as we want to for our church. But at the heart of everything is your and my relationship with God. And I hear the voices of professors of 60 years ago telling me, remember that. When you are too busy to listen to the voice of God, then you have nothing to say from the pulpit or in your church, wherever. We need to keep first things first. We call that worship. What's bogging you down? What excess baggage or will are you carrying, brought with you into church this morning? What is the too much stuff that you were thinking about when we announced the theme? Why has your life become so complicated? It's in retrospect that many people realize that life should be lived differently. I only got to know some of her poetry and prose later, but Irma Bombeck, what a fantastic person she must have been. And just listen what she wrote. You know when she wrote this? Immediately after she found out that she had an incurable disease. Immediately after the horrible diagnosis, she wrote, "If I had my life to live over, I would have talked less and listened more. I would have invited friends over to dinner, even if the carpet was stained and the sofa faded. I would have eaten the popcorn in the good living room and worried much less about the dirt when someone wanted to light a fire in the fireplace. I would have taken the time to listen to my grandfather ramble about his youth. I would never have insisted the car windows be rolled up on a summer day because my hair had just been teased and sprayed. I would have burned the pink candle sculpted like a rose before it melted in storage. I would have sat on the lawn with my children and not worried about grass stains. I would have cried and laughed less while watching television and more while watching life. I would have shared more of the responsibility carried by my spouse. I would have gone to bed when I was sick instead of pretending the earth would go into a holding pattern if I weren't there for the day. I would never have bought anything just because it was practical, wouldn't show soil, or was guaranteed to last a lifetime." And I found this so beautiful. She says, "Instead of wishing away 9 months of pregnancy, I'd have cherished every moment and realized that the wonderment growing inside me was the only chance in life to assist God in a miracle. When my kids kissed me impetuously, I would never have said, 'Later, now go get washed up for dinner.' There would have been more 'I loves you,' more 'I'm sorry's,' but mostly, given another shot at life, I would seize every minute, look at it and really see it, live it, and never give it back." Isn't that beautiful? Psalm 42 asks, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" May I ask that question respectfully from the pulpit this morning? Why are we cast down? Hear the word of the gospel. Travel light. Travel in the light, in the presence of God. Let us follow Jesus with a light step, a light heart, a little more courage for the rough spots, more prayers coming from deep inside, combined with a skip and a song. Amen. Later Spauer hates in prayer. Loving God, each day you make of us a new creation. Through the Holy Spirit, you've planted your words of wisdom, your promise of hope, and the assurance that we can wipe the dust from our feet and begin anew. When we are weak or discouraged, you give us faith, courage, and patience to keep on going. And so we bring our prayers before you this morning, knowing that you already heard the unspoken prayers of our hearts. We especially pray this morning for those who face illness and hospitalization, those undergoing medical treatments with an uncertain outcome. Grant them and their loved ones the peace and assurance of your presence in all the difficult times of life. Move us, O God. Move us by your Spirit, so that the fruit of our harvest will be love and compassion toward all. Loving God, once again, you have sent us out this morning as laborers for your harvest. We've heard your call. We want to respond where we are needed, proclaiming the good news of your grace. Help us to get rid of our stuff. Give us your peace which passes all understanding. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.